Daniel chapter 1, please. I said this morning we'd be in familiar territory in the Word of God, chapter 1, book of Daniel. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4 for the text this evening, and then we'll enjoy a song and jump right into this message tonight. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I realize the message tonight will not be, it will not reach out to every member of this congregation, but from time to time I think it's wise and pertinent to preach on subjects as we'll preach on this evening. So let's stand together, please, and let's read verses 3 and 4, and I'll read 3. Please join me on 4 of this passage of Scripture. Daniel 1:3, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Now, dear Father, please add your blessing to your word tonight. Open our hearts and minds to it. Lord, there's a target group in this message tonight. You know who it is. I pray that you'll even now prepare the hearts of those people for this message tonight. May there be good ground for the good seed of your word to fall on, and may it bring forth fruit. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. You're a blessing to us, Lord. You treat us so kindly. Give us so much of that we don't deserve. And we just ask you tonight, please, have favor on us. Smile on us again in this time of preaching. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you.
To live is Christ, to die is gain. To know His word and walk His narrow way. There is no peace, no joy, no thrill like walking in His will. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Once my heart was full of sin and shame, someone told me Jesus came to save. When He said, "Come unto me," He set my poor heart free. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. There are things that I still do not know. Thought of is one thing I completely
tonight. I want to speak this evening on the subject, children whom we might teach. You see that phrase at the end of verse number 4 was in our text verse. All these qualities and characteristics they were looking for, the king was. One of them was children whom they might teach. So I want to speak tonight on the subject, children whom we might teach, or children who are teachable. And let's ask God's blessing on this tonight. Dear Lord, please, I pray, be with our thoughts, our speaking, our words, be with everything in these next several minutes as we give ourselves to you. Reach down, Lord, and use us like a carpenter would use an old tool out of a pouch. That's all I pray for tonight. I pray that you'll give me the ears, dear Lord, of the young people in this room. I pray that they'll sit up and pay attention. And dear Father, especially arrest their hearts. And may they, Lord, be challenged by this message tonight. And may, Lord, the parents of those children be challenged as well. God bless our school year as the academy has begun, as homeschools are starting up and commencing their studies, Lord, as college students are returning or going for the first time to collegiate studies, Lord, please do a good work in all the young people's hearts this fall, this winter, this school year. And I'll thank you for it. Help me tonight with these thoughts to address these important principles rightly. And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. We are, as I said, in familiar territory tonight. How many church messages have you heard out of the book of Daniel? How many Sunday school lessons? How many chapel messages? How many camp messages? How many youth conference messages have you heard out of Daniel chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 6, even chapter 4 and chapter 2? I mean, over and over and over and over again, somebody is saying, turn to the book of Daniel. Now, there must be a reason for that, folks. There has to be. There are so many lessons to be learned from this great man of God, Daniel, and his three friends. Now, I think the story is unique because we learn so much from a young Daniel. That's what I think makes it unique. We learn so much from a young Hananiah, a young Mishael, and a young Azariah. These boys are introduced to us in their youth. Their youth. So they are a stellar example, if you will, of what a young person could and should be, what they can be. A stellar example of what we want for our youth in 2006 and beyond. Now let me give you the setting here. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, has invaded Jerusalem and brought them back captive. And he's given a command here to Ashpenaz, who was the master of the king's eunuchs. The command was to go to the nation of Israel and look for certain of the Israeli youth. Now, not just any old Jewish boy would do, but certain Jewish boys with certain qualities and certain characteristics. And that's what they did. The Babylonian people, Ashpenaz, went in there under the king's commandment, and they began to search for certain Jewish young people. By the way, this was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. This was a fulfillment of Isaiah's preaching to Hezekiah. Look, if you will, at chapter number 39. Turn back to the book of Isaiah there, chapter 39. Isaiah chapter 39, and look at verses 6 and 7. Here is a prophetical fulfillment, if you will. Isaiah 39, 6 and 7. Hezekiah is the king. And Hezekiah has allowed those from Babylon to come and see all things that are in his house. And actually, it begins in verse number 5. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried to Babylon, nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Now watch verse 7. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. This was prophesied years before it happened. It said the Babylonians are going to come carry these not only these things away, but carry these young people away. And Hezekiah, your seed is going to go into captivity. Your seed is going to be a eunuch in the king of Babylon's palace. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you what contributed to this. Hezekiah's carelessness, his foolishness, and his selfishness led to these boys being taken into captivity. I want to tell you something, parents. We better be real careful how we live, the decisions that we make about our lives. We take into our hands, sometimes make decisions with absolutely no thought of how it's going to impact the next generation. No thought whatsoever. It's convenient for us. It's easy for us. It's good for us. It's exactly what Hezekiah said. He said, well, good is the word of the Lord as long as there's peace and safety in my day. That's a selfish, selfish, selfish attitude to take. And his posterity suffered for it. His kids and grandkids possibly and great-grandkids. I'm going to tell you something. You can take a turn in your Christian walk out of selfishness and end up hurting your grandchildren that you don't have yet. Well, amen, that's true. If you're not careful, you've got to be thinking about that, folks. Think long term. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about if Jesus stays in heaven, those who come after us for years and years and years, if Jesus stays in heaven. So Hezekiah's selfishness led to this. Now, God's word always comes true, and it did here. So here came the Babylonian army. Here came Ashpenaz, the master of the king's eunuch.
eunuchs, and he's looking for certain of the children of Israel. Verse number 4 gives the qualities of these kids that Ashpenaz was to look for. There's several qualities listed in verse number 4. Look at it here, back in Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse number 4. Children in whom was no blemish. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was almost a Hitler-like in this. He wanted a physical specimen of a young man. Don't bring me any boys that aren't strong. Don't bring me any boys that are handicapped. Don't bring me any boys that aren't physical specimens. I want you to find children in whom is no blemish. So he's talking about physical well-being there. Then he says, I want you to find some well-favored children. Again, talking about health, physical health. And then he says, I want you to find some kids skillful in all wisdom. And the Bible says, cunning in knowledge. So here's educated kids. Here's kids who are on the ball educationally. They've learned some things. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts and data and information. Wisdom is how do you use it? How do you put it to work in your life? The root word of wisdom actually is the word skill. It takes skill to take the knowledge that you've accumulated and put it to work in your life. He said, I don't want boys who just accumulate knowledge. I want boys who know how to use it in their life. Bring me some boys who are cunning in knowledge, but who also are skillful in wisdom. You see that right there? That's what he's looking for. And then he says, understanding science. I want some boys who understand science. Bring me some boys who understand science. And then he said, I want some boys who have the ability to stand in the king's palace. Now, when I read that, there's a certain social element to me in that sentence right there. I want some kids who have the ability to stand in the king's palace. Boys who, when you speak to them, know how to speak back. How you doing? We're not talking about that. You don't bring me any of that crowd. I don't want any of that crowd in this palace. Guys that don't know how to stand up, look an adult square in the eye, and talk to them like a young adult man. Don't bring me anybody who's not that way. That's what I get out of this. Maybe you get something different at it. But I mean children who have the ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Teach your kids how to look adults square in the eye. In fact, it wouldn't hurt some adults to look each other square in the eye. Isn't it suspicious when you pass somebody, you look at them, and they divert their eyes? Well, look at you square in the eye. Something's not right. Something's not right. So he said, I want you to bring me some boys who can look me square in the eye and have the ability to stand in the king's palace. And then here's the reason. Here's the reason. Why all these qualities? Why all these characteristics? Whom they might teach. He said to Ashpenaz, I want you to look for some teachable young people. I want you to bring me some teachable boys. Bring me boys that are teachable. Don't bring me boys who don't want to learn. Don't bring me boys who are goof-offs. Don't bring me boys who think it's funny to get bad grades. Don't bring me boys who won't do their homework. Don't bring me boys who won't study. Bring me some boys who have the ability to stand in the king's palace. Bring me some boys who have the ability in wisdom and knowledge. And there's a motivation and a desire to learn because I got a lot of things to teach them. Now, what he had to teach them was not right, not good. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. What I'm talking about is the quality of young man he was looking for. Bring me a teachable young man. Bring me somebody who's got a teachable spirit, a teachable heart. That's the kind of young person I want. And young people, listen, sitting all over this auditorium tonight are adults who are beyond school age. And I'm talking about myself in this business, number two. Many of us wish we could go back and live those school years over again. Now, I do. I'd love to go back, rewind the clock all the way back to age 12 and just start over again. With most things. And have the chance just to straighten it all out. I mean, buddy, I blew it, and I'm probably speaking for some others in this room tonight. You look back at your educational years, and we blew it. The opportunity was there for learning and education and knowledge and wisdom, and we missed it. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you. I wish I could stand up here tonight and say, man, follow my example on this and tell you how I did and how I worked hard as a high school student to get good grades. But I missed it. I missed it. I missed it. Now, listen very carefully. I don't want that for you. I want your youthful years, your school years, these years of learning. I want them to be the very best they can be for all of you. Because I want to tell you something. God is looking for children whom might be taught. That's what God's looking for. You know, it's a wonderful thing. I'll say this tonight. It's a wonderful thing when you consider that the abilities needed to be used of God, the abilities needed to serve Him, are within reach of everyone. Amen. You say, what are those abilities? Availability. Dependability. And responsibility. Isn't God good that He made it so simple for us to be used and to serve Him? You know, you just be available. You have availability, dependability, and responsibility, and I'll use you. God can use anybody. And God has used anybody's, and God has used nobody's over the years, hasn't He? God's still using nobody. Sure He is. Paul even said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the foolish and the weak and not many wise after the flesh were chosen for the ministry. That'll keep you from getting the big head. The foolish, the weak, and not many wise after the flesh, chosen for the ministry. Now, we've been blessed by stories of men past and present who were greatly used of God in spite of a limited or a poor education. I think of D.L. Moody. And if you ever get the opportunity, I don't know if Larry Harrison ever carries the book or not. It's called Hold the Fort. It has 50 messages that are unedited. They've never been fixed. They are recorded and printed. They're printed just as he preached them. And when you read through that, it's going to blow your mind to see how this man used the English language. It was terrible. It's awful. He used the wrong tenses of verbs in sentences and put statements together that absolutely, it was incredibly poor. But all was God's touch on that man. Because he was available, dependable, and responsible. What a great man of God. Took two continents in his hand and raised them up to the Lord. America and England. Took two of them. America and Europe. I think of men. I think of current men. I think of Bobby Robertson. Brother Bobby down there now. 40 years, 50 years in the ministry. You know what? I think it was 50 years in the same church. I think he's been 50 years at Gospel Light Baptist Church, has an 8th grade education. 8th grade education. Runs about 3,400, 3,500 Sunday school, has an 8th grade education. You ever heard Brother Bobby preach? He's very simple. And sometimes he'll use the wrong verb tenses, get the English language mixed up, messed up. But oh, is God's touch on him? One of the great reasons, I believe, is because he's truly a humble man. Very humble man. I think of a man that we had here. One of the first men I had to speak at Faith Baptist Church after I came here was an old gypsy preacher by the name of Lonnie Graves. Lonnie Graves went to 2 days of formal school in his life. I didn't say 2 years. 2 days of formal school in his lifetime. 2 days. He was a gypsy. Wandering around with the gypsy band. 2 days of formal education and yet built one of the greatest churches in all the Southland in Durham, North Carolina when he was a free will Baptist. I mean, brother, and then became an independent Baptist. And I'll tell you what, God's hand was on Lonnie Graves. God used him greatly with 2 days of formal education. I'll tell you another one. It may surprise you because he got a grip on the English language in his speaking. He became a very polished speaker. But did you know that Curtis Hudson had an 8th grade education? Curtis Hudson had an 8th grade education. That's what he had. And became a very polished speaker. Curtis Hudson was one of the mighty, mighty used men of God of past generations in our country. Just, I'm talking about all these fellows and others. I'm sure we don't know all the names and stories and places. But God can use anybody. But listen. And you know, you hear a story like that and your heart just goes, man, amen. That's what, and it is wonderful. It is good that God is so big, so great, and so wonderful that He'll reach down and take an 8th grade educated young person like Bobby Robertson or a 2 day educated person like Lonnie Graves and fill him with His Spirit and bless him and use him in great power. It's a wonderful thing. But don't ever, ever, never, never should you young people underestimate the importance of an education when you've got the opportunity to get it. Never get the impression that school academics are unimportant. They are. Because I want to tell you something. Just as quick as God uses an uneducated person, God uses educated people too. And a lot of people in the Bible were educated. Do you know that? Do you know Moses was an educated man? You know, I never forget. You remember how when God spoke to him out of that burning bush, he gave that big excuse that he couldn't speak? You know what Acts 7:22 says? Listen to these words now. This is before the burning bush experience. This is before he killed the Egyptian who was fighting with the Hebrew. This is early in his life. The Bible says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." I take that to mean he had an education that was wonderful as far as education is concerned. And he learned it. He was a smart man and a wise man, mighty in words and in deeds. There's nothing wrong with getting a good education and applying yourself to get it. Nothing whatsoever. Saul of Tarsus was an educated man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the great teachers and philosophers of his day. He sat at his feet beginning, I think, at age 14, if I'm right. I think he went to Jerusalem. And I might be wrong on that exactly. But I think he went to Jerusalem at age 14 and sat at the feet of Gamaliel and was taught by that man and was a brilliant-minded man. Let me give you another one. How about Luke, the beloved what? Physician. Last time I checked, doctors had to go to quite a bit of schooling to get to be a physician, to be a doctor. Then we get the idea, you know, well, God can reach down and take the person who has no learning and no education, and God can do great things with them, and thank God he can hit a lick with a crooked stick, and he can. But I want to tell you something, that is no reason or excuse to slough off when you've been given the opportunity to study and learn, because God can use an educated person just as quick as he can use an uneducated person. We know these boys, Daniel and his friends, best. We know these boys, Daniel and his friends, best for refusing to defile themselves with the king's meat and drink. Remember that? They purposed in their heart. And that's what we know them for. You say, what do you know about Daniel? Man, he purposed in his heart. And his friends did. They wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat and drink. What do you know about Daniel? Oh, man, he interpreted those dreams. That dream that set up the course of human power, world power, government power for years to come. He interpreted all that. That's what I know about Daniel. What do you know about Daniel? Man, he kept praying out the east window and he went to the lion's den and the lions didn't eat him. What do you know about Daniel and his three boys? They didn't bow, they didn't bend, and praise God, they didn't burn. Those are the things we know about those boys. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. Long before any of those events took place, long before any of those things took place, let me tell you what was happening. Those boys were busy applying themselves in the area of knowledge and wisdom and school and education and learning, and they were preparing. And who knows, friend, if we would know none of those things that happened in the land of Babylon if they hadn't put their nose to the grindstone when they were young and decided, I'm not going to waste these years. Not going to waste these years and opportunities to learn. Go ahead and goof off. Go ahead and be a silly slough off in school. I'm talking to the kids tonight. Are you listening? And no matter where your schooling takes place, here, home, public school, I'm talking to college students too. Go ahead. Don't do your homework. You know, make bad grades and laugh about it. You may be sticking a dagger in the heart of your future if you do that. That's foolish. That's foolish. School is underway. We started this past Wednesday. Homeschools are starting up. I've been talking to folks. Have you started? Yes, we've been started. We're going to start. Colleges are getting started. That's where Joyson is tonight. She took Abby up this afternoon. I know Stephanie went up this afternoon. The colleges are getting started again. Rick and Steve and Paul going next Sunday. And Elizabeth going back, I think, Friday this week. And others of you starting out to college. School is underway. You know what I say tonight? God give us young people whom we might teach. God give us a group of young people who are teachable, who have a heart for learning, for growing, not only in wisdom, but in knowledge and education, applying yourselves, given opportunities of learning, taking full advantage of them. Give us children who might be taught. Children who might be taught. You never know what God has in the future for you. If you'll get serious about it, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. I say again, we know those boys and Daniel for those great exploits in the land of Babylon. But I'm going to tell you something. There was a solid foundation of years and years of applying themselves in the matter of education before they ever hit the land of Babylon. That's what that Bible says right there. They were part of that group that Nebuchadnezzar was looking for. I want to say some things tonight. Let me give you some thoughts about being a young person who is teachable. Won't take long. Have three of them. Number one, kids who are teachable Number one, work hard at learning because it is right to work hard at what you do. Kids who are teachable work hard at learning because it is right to work hard at what you do. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it thy might. Whatever my hand has found to do, I am to do it with my might. Now boys, you're not driving trucks right now. You're not supervising a group of men in a factory. You're not designing architectural buildings. You're not checking the account ledgers as a certified public accountant right now. That's not what you're doing. Girls, you're not doing that kind of work right now. What does your hand find to do right now? You know what you are right now? You are a student. You're a student. And as a student, that's what your hand has found to do. And whatever your hand has found to do, do it with your might. You know what your hand has found right now? Your hand has found English. Now we laugh and cut up about English, but I want to tell you something. Do you realize that English is learning how to communicate? Do you know how important communication is in any phase of life? And this is why people flip burgers at McDonald's. They can't communicate. English is communication. English is speaking and reading and writing and taking it all in. That's what your hand has found to do right now. Young man, young lady, you're to study English with all your might. Still the national language in America, by the way. Amen. Be glad when these menus on these phones quit asking if you want to speak and if you want to hear Spanish, press 1. Excuse me. This is America. We speak English. If you want, that should be 1, not 2 or 3. No. English. Science. 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 I mean, look, you had the opportunity. That's what your hand is found to do. Study the sciences. God has gifted us here at our school with two ladies who are both, we're both registered nurses, and the training and learning that has to go into all of that. And they come here to teach for a meager, pitiful wage. And you've got young people sitting there goofing off in science class. Don't you understand, friend? You've got an opportunity that some folks will never have. Apply yourself. Find a way. That's what your hand is found to do. Math. That's what your hand is found to do. Do it with all your might. History, social studies, whatever the electives are in the high school this year. I'm talking about the reading. I'm talking about the note-taking. I'm talking about the quizzes. I'm talking about the test. I'm talking about the outside assignments. I'm talking about the reports and the projects. Go ahead and complain if you want to. Gripe and complain because I got to do this, I got to do that. I know you'd much rather be pushing the buttons on your video game. I know you would. Maybe they'll have those at McDonald's for the break time. It's ridiculous. Gripe and this is work. What do you think the rest of life is going to be? Goodness gracious, man. Grow up. Grow up. Do those things with your might. And I will tell, man, you folks going off to college for the first time, bless your heart. You can ask folks who have gone. Oh, boy, it's an eye-opener. They're kind in high school. They're not kind in college. You don't get it, they ain't coming to help you unless you ask questions. Ask questions. You don't show up, hey, they're going on. They're not waiting for you. But there's too many other students there and so forth. Work hard. Learn. Let me tell you that you are in training for your future. Sloughing off in schoolwork could be training yourself to slough off on the job someday. You know, if you get into bad habits, they are hard to break, especially the older you get. So you 8th, 9th, and 10th graders who are sloughing off right now, not applying yourself in school, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You better hang on. When you hit 18, you think you're going to flip the light switch and everything's going to change? You know, you're going to go to college and all of a sudden start studying. No, you're not. He's already ingrained in you. Goof off, slough around, mess around, waste the opportunity God's given you. You better start taking life seriously. Take it seriously right now, right now. And I want to tell you something. You know, I'm not talking about just future 10, 15, 20 years up there. Sometimes there are more short-term rewards. I want to tell you something. A lot of colleges, if you go to a Bible college especially, will offer the valedictorian, the highest grade point is the valedictorian, right, Brother Burden? They'll offer the top GPA in a graduating class, they'll offer them a break on tuition. You know that? Sometimes that's substantial money. Some colleges will give you half tuition for the whole first year. Half tuition for your whole first year. You come down to the last 6 months of school, start trying to get... I'm going to tell you something. It's a matter of habit. Look, folks, I'm going to tell you personally, I hate to say this, but personally, it took getting saved for me to have a change of heart and change my habit, change the habits I developed in high school when it came to schoolwork. I was a loser. I hate that. I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed of that. I was a loser. I didn't care about my grades, and it was obvious. I didn't care about schoolwork. I went to junior college. I didn't even go to class. It was stupid. I'm ashamed of that. I wish I could stand up here and give you but I'm trying to help. I am ashamed of that. And sometimes I see boys who are supposed to be saved, girls who are supposed to be saved, walking down that same path. I'm going to tell you something. After I got saved, everything changed, including my desire to make good grades. I got to Bible college. I wanted to make good grades. I wasn't a straight-A student until my last semester of college. I took tiddlywinks and all that other stuff. No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I am kidding. I had some tough classes, and well, when I got my final report card as a second semester senior in 1980, I looked at that thing and I had straight A's. You said, well, I thought you just told us that you can't change bad habits. It took getting saved. That's a little bit of a change. Okay. Now, you're supposed to be saved. You should be attacking that schoolwork, man, with your might. Whatsoever your hand is found to do, do it with your might. Always do your best. Always do your best. Whatever that level is. And parents, you know, with multiple children, you see it all the time. You'll have those gifted kids and you'll have those kids that aren't gifted. And boy, I'll tell you what, you've got to use a lot of wisdom in how much to push a child. Nothing wrong with challenging a child, but don't break their spirit. Don't break their spirit. I like the little thing C.W. Fisk said at Howes Anderson years ago, never have forgotten it. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. That's good for school. I said that's good for school. It's good for school. If you're going to be a teachable kid, work hard at learning because it is right to work hard at what you do. That's what your hand has found to do right now. Do it with all your might. Number two, let me say this tonight. Kids who are teachable, number two, need parental involvement. Need parental involvement. Look at Galatians chapter 4, please. Turn over there in your New Testament, Galatians chapter 4. You say, well, you know, that's what, you know, I've chosen not to homeschool, so I'm letting the school educate my children. I said, children, kids who are teachable need parental involvement. I don't care where the education of your children takes place, parents, you're still responsible for it. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Now, there's more teaching. There's so much spiritual teaching in this, and we don't have time to look into it. That's not what I'm going after tonight anyway. But he uses a family matter to illustrate a spiritual truth about children and about servants and child and so forth and so on. Look at verse number 1. Now, I say that the heir, Galatians 4, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's actually teaching about the principle of adoption here. But look at verse 2. Is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. You see that? The time appointed of the Father. Nothing is ever said about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's parents, but I sure would like to meet them. But I'll tell you something, friend. They had to be involved in those boys' lives. And parents, if the kids are going to be teachable, it takes parental involvement. The education of your child is not our responsibility. It's yours. I am responsible for the 6 who call me dad. And you are responsible for the however many call you dad. If you think that your responsibility ends when you pull up over here and you drop them off and the car door shuts, my responsibility is done for the day. That's wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking. We are in existence as a church school in order to assist you and help you fulfill your responsibility. To see to it that your children receive a proper education. Let me ask you some questions. Parents, are you checking to see if they have homework? Are you saying to them when they come to the door, do you have any homework? If I take them home from school, I'm asking them that question on the ride home. Are you doing, have any homework tonight? Luke, Lee, you got any homework tonight? Are you checking if they have any homework? Are you providing the place and time for them to do their work? Running around town and telling them to use the back seat of a vehicle is not a good place to do work. While you run from errand to errand trying to keep up with your stuff and your kids just got to get along. They need to have a place to study and work and do their work. Are you challenging them to improve their grades? Are you letting them slough by? Are you looking when those packets start to come home? When the packets coming home? Tuesday, the packets are coming home. Folks, there's a method behind that madness. The reason that we send those packets home is so that you can see. Here's the daily work. Here's the quizzes. Here's the tests. Here are the midterms. Here's every 3 weeks. Here are the progress reports. Those are for you and me to look at because ultimately I'm responsible to make sure that my six are applying themselves. Do you look at the packets? You take out of that, was it 40 weeks of school? And I may be gone on a Monday and Tuesday every now and again when those packets come home. But I'll tell you what, it'd be hard to count on one hand, maybe at the most, 7 or 8 times. My signature is not on that packet. I have looked at those papers. I have looked at those grades. I have said it when the ones that were not good. Why is this grade so low? I do that. Well, the wife can do it. That's not what it says here. It says the fathers. I'm going to tell you something. I'm all for every good mom involved in the education of their children. But I'm going to tell you what. When daddy gets involved, it shakes a kid up a little bit. Dads need to be involved. Are you talking to them about their classes? Do you ever say to them, what did you learn today? How's school today? How's class? What did you learn in math? What did you learn in science? What did you learn in history? How'd you get along in the elective? Do you ever ask them questions? Do you ever take time with the kid? Many a time over the years, I have taken a week's worth of math papers. And I've taken all the ones that were marked wrong and I have recopied them on a fresh sheet of paper and greeted one of my kids with, do these. Do they like it? Nope. But there's a lot of stuff in life you don't like. Yeah. Challenge them. Get involved in the education of your kids. We're here to assist you. But if you don't nail down, it's my responsibility, you're missing the boat. Well, my life is too busy. Maybe you should have thought about that before you had all those kids. Guess we got a lot of irresponsibility today. Just having children left and right with no thought of rearing them. No thought of taking care of them. No thought of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No thought of their education. No thought of anything. Just having babies. And I am for big families. I'm for multiple children. We had six. We had what we thought was a nice group at four, and then we got surprised and shocked. But that's fine now. Glad. I'm going to tell you something. There's too much irresponsibility in this thing. Brother, when you birth a child into the world, you're responsible from the time that they breathe their first breath as a little baby until they leave your home as a married young person someday. They're our responsibility. Every phase, which includes their education. It does. Number three, let me say this. Kids who are teachable, number three, are not a dime a dozen. So what you going to be, young man? Nebuchadnezzar said, Ashpenaz, you're going to have to go look for certain kids. You're going to have to look for certain kids. Look at me. It's not about being smart. It's about working hard. It's not about a high IQ. It's about an aptitude to be taught. And if I can only be taught to this level, bless God, I'll get to that level. Amen. And if I can be taught to this level, I'll get there. It's the aptitude of learning and working and studying and applying myself and putting my nose to the grindstone. Unfortunately, not many kids today are motivated to learn. Not many kids are crying out, teach me. Not many kids are crying out, teach me. It's too much work. Video games are so much more fun. It's so much easier to push the buttons on the little thing and watch those people bounce around and kill folks and jump over buildings with the push of a button. Bing! Wouldn't it be great if life was that way? Bing! Jump over a building. Become a CEO. Bing! Huh? Wouldn't it be great if that was it? Huh? That's too hard. You know what, folks? We're living in a dumbed down society, if you don't know that. Boy, the mentality is don't push the children. Don't push them. Athletic contests should be limited because you don't want them to get beat by more than 10 points. It could destroy their psyche. Are you hearing that stuff? Connecticut passed a law that when the team got 10 points ahead, they had to quit playing. Couldn't score anymore. Where was that crowd when we got beat 100-44? Brother Adrian, by an all-black team. Us white boys had to play them. 100. They were dunking on our heads. Laughing on the court. 100-44. Nobody was concerned about my psyche. Where was that group of people? 100-44. It was 98-44, and they got a breakaway dunk. I mean, the guy jammed it through the hoop as the horn sounded, and the triple digits on the scoreboard, 100-44. I wish everybody could have gone to Little League when I did. Oh, they threw the football in your stomach. If your legs were, remember the 6-inch drill used to do? Lay on your back, pull your feet 6 inches off the ground, Brother Mike, 6, and hold it there, beat your stomach when it didn't bounce. Amen. Poing, poing. He'd walk around with a football, and it's easier to hold him a foot off the ground than it is to 6 inches. He'd walk around with a football and just throw it in your gut. Wham! No parents. Can't have losers. Couldn't dare have losers. Couldn't ever lose anything because all it would just damage us. Everything is be careful, be considerate, be cautious, be kind, be positive. Nobody wants to push a child. The greatest thing in the world, who is it? Somebody was talking to me about it this morning. You tell these boys, don't run. I know there are times not to run, but folks, running is in a boy. Throwing rocks is in a boy. It's in a boy. It's part of being a boy. Putting frogs in their pockets is part of being a boy. Scaring girls, it's a part of being a boy. Huh? Years ago, and it's not right, it was wrong. Years ago, a good brother came to me. He said, your son was at the water fountain and took a big mouthful of water and spit it on my daughter. And the son got a spanking. But I wanted to, inside I was saying, son, don't do it, but always want to do it. Amen? That's a boy. That's a boy. They like to climb. Don't climb trees. And I'm sorry, I'm out of date. I know I am. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but when I see these folks riding these bicycles with these weird-looking things on their heads, dear Lord, please. It's sick. It's all a softening. It's all Oh, just the softening and the calming. Boy, I'll tell you what, we just, you know, just some parents who know how to balance propriety and boyishness and good behavior when it's needed, and let them be a boy and girl. Push them, challenge them. If they bleed, it's good for them. If they scratch themselves, it's wonderful. If they fall down, it's great. They're kids. And in school, it does not hurt to challenge them. Now, you young people, listen very carefully tonight. Are you ready to step up to the plate? Because I'm going to tell you something. The kids I'm talking about tonight are not a dime a dozen. It's a small little handful. There wasn't a bunch of them in Jerusalem. There's a handful. God give us. I mean, the percentages in a Christian school ought to be higher than they are in a public school of kids who have a mind to learn, a heart to learn. Are you going to step up to the plate? The wise ones will step up, be the rare kid today whom we might teach. Now, these boys did great exploits, but I still contend that for those educational years as young boys, they evidently put their nose to the grindstone. They learned and they paid the price and they were serious about it. God used them greatly. Oh, God can use the uneducated. You know why I use Lonnie Graves with 2 days of education? That's all he had. Excuse me, you're not born to a gypsy family. Your dad's shelling out $200 a month for you to be here. You better apply yourself. Some of you at home, your mother is working not only doing the responsibilities of wife and taking care of a house, but spending hours each day educating you. You better not just slough off. Take mom for granted. Abuse her. Apply yourself. Step up to the plate, kids. It's your time. Your hand has found school. Do school with all your might. Children whom we might teach. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I know it was more of a specific, targeted message, but I feel like sometimes it's necessary in this day and age. Dear Father, speak to the hearts of the young in this room tonight. I pray that they'll be challenged, Lord, through the message, the principles, God, through the example of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Challenge their hearts. Lord, give us a great school year, church, at home, and even those who go to the public school. I pray that, Lord, they'll seize the opportunity to learn. God, give us children whom we might teach. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room tonight? Anybody? All right. You've been saved but not baptized since you've been saved. You need to come follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You ought to do that. Be obedient to Christ. Now, how many students, college age and down, high school, elementary, at a school or at home, wherever, an organized school, at a church or public school or college or in a homeschool situation, how many kids in educational environments tonight? I'm talking to you kids now. I want you to listen to me. How many of you say, Pastor, you know, I don't want to miss the opportunity. I like to step up to the plate. I know kids who apply themselves and learn and work hard are not a dime a dozen, but by God's grace, I want to step up to the plate and be that kind of young person. I don't want to miss the opportunity. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand all over the room tonight? That's a blessing. A lot of hands up. God bless you, college students. Amen. I appreciate that. And God bless the rest of you. Now, some of you had to be prodded to raise your hand as you looked around and saw who else was doing it. You know, God sees through all that. But many of you, your hand shot up immediately. Praise God for that. Man, work hard. Apply yourself. Have a great school year. Children whom we might teach. Parents, are you involved? Brother Angel, pray for me. I probably have taken a lesser interest in my kids' education than I should have. And I need to apply myself as dad or mom around the house a little bit better. Pray for me tonight. Would you raise your hand? Amen. That's a blessing. God bless you. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Why don't you just step out? Lord, I want to have a great year. Bless me. Help me. speak. Lord, make me what I ought to be. As a student, help me to learn. Boy, it could be the difference. 25, 30 years from this night. God, may God help us, children, that we might teach.